If you would turn now to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, reading verses 1 through 13. And if you would hold your place there and also turn to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24, reading verses 1 through 18. Beginning in Exodus chapter 24, this is the word of the Lord. Then he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near. And the people shall not come up with him." Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And then also Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, and the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. For he finds fault with them when he says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more." In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete, and what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. This is the word of the Lord. Christ is a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is according to the oath of God, which God swore by himself. And as it is impossible for God to lie, you who have fled to Christ for refuge may have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before you. Christ is your high priest forever. This the Lord has sworn. He has sworn he will not change his mind. Christ is your high priest now and forevermore. Christ, as your high priest, has offered up himself. Christ, as your high priest, has offered up himself once for all, a perfect sacrifice to satisfy God's justice. This he has done for you. This he has done for you who believe in him. All the wrath of God, which was stored for you, all the wrath of God stored up for you, it has been poured out upon Christ, your high priest. It has been poured out upon God's Son, so that there is now and forevermore no condemnation for you. So that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is only life. Christ, as your high priest, he became obedient to the point of death on a cross. And Christ, as your high priest, has been raised from the dead. This is the accomplishment of your salvation. It is done. It is finished. It is sure. It is yours. No one can take it away from you. If God has justified you, who is there to condemn you? the high priestly work of Christ includes his offering up himself as a perfect sacrifice that you might live. And as Christ is raised from the dead, death no longer has dominion over him. He remains your high priest. He continues as your high priest now and forever. As your high priest, he has ascended into the heavenly places. As your high priest, he is seated at the right hand of God. As your high priest, he there lives to make intercession for you. There he lives to make intercession for you as he applies to you by his Spirit that salvation which he has accomplished for you. Christ is your high priest in the heavenly places. He has entered behind the curtain into the most holy place. He has gone there as a forerunner on your behalf. He has gone as a forerunner on your behalf that you might follow him there. He has gone there as a forerunner on your behalf that he might lead you there. Your hope is in him. Your hope is with him. Your hope is in the heavenly places. For this you wait. For this you endure, to enter that Sabbath rest that remains for the people of God. To enter that Sabbath rest which Christ has already entered. It is from heaven, it is from rest that Christ calls you to worship on this day. It is from heaven that Christ calls you to worship on this day, and it is to heaven that Christ calls you to worship on this day. It is from rest that Christ calls you to worship on this day, and it is to rest that Christ calls you to worship on this day. When you gather together on the Lord's Day, you gather together before the throne of God in heaven. By faith, through the Spirit, you ascend the heavenly Mount Zion. And upon that holy heavenly hill, the resurrected Christ leads you, his people, in the worship of heaven. When Christ calls his people to worship, when Christ calls you to worship, he is reminding you of your hope. He is encouraging you. He is calling you to remain steadfast in that hope. This is what we saw in Genesis chapter 14 with Melchizedek. Melchizedek, the king of Jerusalem. Melchizedek, without beginning or end, meets Abraham after the slaughter of the kings. Melchizedek, a revelation of Christ, meets Abraham, not from earthly Jerusalem, but from heavenly Jerusalem. Melchizedek meets Abraham from heavenly Jerusalem and offers to Abraham the gift of heaven, offers to Abraham bread and wine, offers to Abraham himself as his reward, as his possession, as his hope. It was a reminder to Abraham of his hope. It was a reminder to Abraham of his calling. It was an encouragement to Abraham to remain steadfast in that hope. And thus it is that Abraham refuses the offer of the king of Sodom, the possession of this world at the cost of his soul. For Abraham knew that he was called to something greater. For Abraham knew that he was called to something better. For he saw something greater. He saw something better. A heavenly possession. A heavenly inheritance. A heavenly country. That possession, that inheritance, that country, Christ, your high priest, has gained for you. That possession, that inheritance, that country Christ has gained for you, and to that possession, to that inheritance, to that country, he now calls you. It is a call from heaven to heaven. For that is where your high priest is seated. Christ is seated in the heavenly places. Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. He is a minister in the holy places, in the true tent which the Lord has set up, not man. In Hebrews chapter 8, and in chapter 9, and in chapter 10, the author speaks of this true tent, this true tabernacle, and the work of Christ therein. But here we may ask, what is this true tent? What is this true tabernacle that the Lord set up, not man? In this true tabernacle, Christ is a minister in the holy places. What are these holy places? Where are these holy places? When were they set up by the Lord? In verse 5 of chapter 8, this true tent, this true tabernacle with its holy places, it is contrasted with the tent, with the tabernacle on earth. It is contrasted with the Old Testament tabernacle in which the Levitical priests served. In verse 5, we read that these Levitical priests, that these priests according to the law, that is the Mosaic law, we read that they serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. Here the contrast between the true tabernacle and this Old Testament tabernacle is a contrast between the heavenly and the earthly. The heavenly tabernacle which God set up, and the earthly tabernacle which Moses set up. The earthly tabernacle which Moses set up, we read, was patterned after the heavenly tabernacle which God set up. The earthly tabernacle which Moses set up was patterned after the heavenly tabernacle which God set up. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 40. The Lord instructs Moses, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. The author of Hebrews, he interprets this pattern as a heavenly pattern. When Moses ascends the mountain in Exodus chapter 24, the author of Hebrews understands that the pattern which Moses saw on that mountain was the heavenly pattern, and that the tabernacle was built after that pattern. The earthly tabernacle was a copy and a shadow of the true tabernacle. But what exactly was this true tabernacle? Where is this true tabernacle? What are its holy places in which Christ serves? At this point, it is helpful to consider again the setting up of the earthly tabernacle. And in considering the setting up of the earthly tabernacle, we may better understand what it means for the heavenly tabernacle to be set up, after which the earthly was patterned. In Exodus chapter 40, we read of the putting up of the earthly tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 1, the Lord speaks to Moses, "On the first day of the month, on the first day of the first month, you shall erect the tabernacle of the tent of meeting." And then in verse 16 of Exodus chapter 40, we read, "This Moses did according to all that the Lord commanded him." Verse 17, "In the first month, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected." Verse 18, "Moses laid its bases and set up its frames and raised its pillars." Verse 19, "And he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent over it as the Lord had commanded." Now for one who is acquainted with the Old Testament, the language in Exodus chapter 40 may sound familiar. The language used of Moses putting up the earthly tabernacle, it is the language used of God in His work of creation. Just as Moses laid the bases of the tabernacle and raised its pillars and stretched a tent over them, so also in Psalm 104 we read that God, verse 2, stretched out the heavens like a tent, verse 5, and set the earth on its foundations. The work of Moses in setting up the earthly tabernacle resembles the work of God in creation. Moses putting up the tabernacle on the first day, according to the word of the Lord, laying its bases, stretching over it a covering, it is patterned after God's own work at the creation of the world. Thus, not only the tabernacle itself was a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, but even its setting up was a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. And thus, just as God finished the work, So also Moses, Exodus chapter 40, verse 33. So also Moses finished the work. And just as God, after finishing his work, entered his rest, so also after Moses finished the work, God comes down in glory and rests upon and within the tabernacle. We are again, not surprised then that the tabernacle, with its three parts, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place, we are not surprised that it reflected all creation with its three parts, the earth, its visible heavens, and the invisible heavens. We are not surprised that the outer court resembled the visible earth, the outer court with its mountain-like altar, with its sea-like basin. We are not surprised that the holy place resembles the earthly heavens, the visible heavens. The holy place with its lamps, with its lights corresponding to the lamps which God set in the sky. We are not surprised that the most holy place resembles the invisible heavens, the most holy place with the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts who is enthroned on the cherubim. The earthly tabernacle which Moses put up, it was a copy and shadow of the heavenly tabernacle which God put up. The heavenly tabernacle and its holy places in which Christ now serves, it is the invisible heavens. The true tabernacle in which Christ now serves, it within its holy places, it is the invisible heavens, the dwelling place of God, which He created, which He set up at the beginning of the world. It was God's purpose from the beginning of creation. It was God's purpose from the beginning of the creation that at its end you would enter into His presence in the most holy place, in the invisible heavens, in His eternal dwelling place. A hope that you lost in Adam. A hope that you have gained in Christ. In Exodus chapter 24, when Moses entered the cloud upon the mountain, on the seventh day, when Moses entered the cloud upon the mountain on the Sabbath day, it was a revelation of your hope. It was a revelation of your hope that would be reflected in the tabernacle to enter into the holy places, to enter into the heavenly places, to enter into God's dwelling place, to enter into God's rest. God God did not create the world for his own benefit. God did not create for his own benefit, but for yours. This includes the true tabernacle. God did not create his heavenly dwelling place for his own benefit, but for yours. God did not create the Sabbath day for his own benefit, but for yours. Just as the Sabbath was made for man, so also heaven was made for man. People of God, this day has been given for you, that you might gather together on this day and enjoy all that Christ has accomplished for you, all that Christ has gained for you. On this day, he calls you to come up onto the heavenly mountain. He calls you to come near. You no longer need to stand afar. You may come near before the Lord in Christ. This is the end for which you were created. This is the end for which you have been redeemed. This is the end for which you wait. This is the end for which you endure. It is your hope. It is your calling. People of God, until that day comes in all its fullness, this very day has been given to you to remind you of your hope, to encourage you in that hope. This day has been given to you that you might enjoy that hope, that you might draw near to God. To neglect to meet together on this day is to neglect to draw near to God. And if you do not draw near to him, to what, to whom are you drawing near? People of God, your high priest has ascended into the heavenly places. He is your high priest now and forever. And he calls you now and forever to draw near to the Lord in him. Let us do so with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Amen. Let us pray.